We are on Philippians 4, chapter 5. It's amazing when you're studying the Word of God, and it's such a short verse, and as you're studying the Word of God, it's amazing how the Lord leads you, and I believe it's the Lord through the Holy Spirit guiding the Sunday school teacher, the pastor, the evangelist. In we're reading the notes, and all of a sudden another verse comes that has to do with that, and the Lord just puts it in there. Or sometimes you're saying, I'm going to use this verse, but the Lord says, that's a nice verse, but that's not what I want you to use. So he guides us in different directions. We are on Philippians 4, 5, and Paul warns us to beware of an unforgiving spirit. And in verse 5, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The word moderation here has the connotation of forbearance or forgiveness. Notice, it is something we are to exhibit to all men. When other people react in different way towards us, we have no control over them. But we do have something to say of our own reaction. How do we react to other people? And a lot of times, our reactions is what gets us in trouble. We react, if we don't like what we hear, right away, that's human nature, okay? Let your moderation be known unto all men. We need to be considerate of how we're going to do things. That person offended me, yes, but I need to be considerate of not getting a hammer and going at him. This is what Paul is letting us know. We need to be reasonable. Okay? Yes. How can we work it out instead of, no, it's either my way or you sin against me, and if I had a gun, I would have. No. We, as Christians, we need to be careful. Okay? We need to be fair-minded, charitable, and we need to have self-control. Let your moderation be known to all men. Okay? Paul, he was always getting in trouble. How many times did the Lord forgive Paul? Many, many times. How many times before we got saved and after we got saved, can you imagine all the sins that the Lord forgave us of? Now that we're saved, we don't sin no more, do we? We're holier than ever. No. Our human nature is how many times I say, Lord, how many times I've been saved for 40-something years? How many times in those 40 years have I failed you? And they're called sin. We just saw, oh, it's a failure. No, it's a sin. How many times have the Lord forgiven me? Not to save me again, because he saved me once and for all. But he forgives me, and he's lost count of how many times. Guess what? In the near future, and I'm not going to do it on purpose, but if I sin, the Lord says, I forgave you from your past, your present, and your future. And as I forgave you, you need to have the same attitude. Because a lot of times as Christians, we demand, that's my right, okay? And we need to be very careful. So here, and this is another thing, say, Lord, when you put me up there, give me short verses because I have trouble reading and I don't want to be writing big old letters because that's how I do it. And the Lord said, okay, try this one. How about if I give you Matthew 18:22-35? Oh my goodness, so I have to read it, so you have to be patient with me. Okay? Peter, and he was always wanting to be number one. In the front row, he wanted to be the hero. And so when we get to Matthew 18:21, Peter, okay, asks a question to the Lord. And he says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. You know why he said that? The Jewish law made by men, okay, required that you were able to forgive a person that had offended you three times. Then after that, he's all yours. That was the Jewish law, three times in a day, okay? And so Peter here says, Lord, how many times, and before I go there, the Lord told Peter, before this day is over, before the cock crows two times, you're going to deny me how many times? Three times, because I was a Jew. Can you imagine, Peter, I've already forgiven you, you're on your own. But no, okay? He was basing that on what Peter had asked him. And so he said, look, Jesus, he's trying to be generous. And he says, Lord, the Jews require me to forgive three times. But I'm going to add three times two, which is six. Huh? I did their part, and then I did three more, plus one more, seven times. Woo, look at me. That's what he was boasting. And Jesus said, no. Instead, you must be prepared for effectively unlimited forgiveness. We need to forgive. Let's go to Luke 9, 54 and 55. Remember, Jesus had walked into a village, but he wasn't going to stay because his mind was said, I need to go this place. So the people there in the village didn't even bother, not that they were being careless with him, but he said, they saw, and he said, his mind, he's not even going to stop here. So they didn't invite him. But because his mind was made up that he was going somewhere else. But now, you have James and John. And it says here, and when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, again, look at how when a person puts himself before the Lord, will thou that who? We. Command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did. How did they react? Right away, because they didn't. A lot of times we're that same way. When people don't want us, when they don't agree with us, we can always be reasonable. Okay, let's see the both sides of the coin, and now this is why I'm saying I never, oh, you know what? I didn't see the other side. Thank you for reminding me. And we need to be reasonable with that. Okay? So, and help me out here. So Jesus says unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's 490 times in one day. Can you imagine If I offend you 490 times in one day, and the Lord says, but if I go to you, yes, if I go to you and ask forgiveness again, you should have an unlimited heart that forgives, not a punching attitude, okay? So he says, therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was bought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. You know how much that is? Millions. I don't know how he loaned him, but it was millions, okay? But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. This is another thing we need to be in our moderation. And loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. That's 1,000. That's still a lot of money, thousands. But you compare thousands to millions, that's peanuts, right? And he said, where am I? Oh. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Millions. I don't think he was able. This is a person that dies without Christ. He'll never pay the debt. Aren't you glad that when we ask the Lord to forgive us, he paid the debt. I remember Phil Roy used to sing a song, Jesus paid the debt I owe and set me free. Isn't that amazing? So he said, likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. And we often assume that receiving forgiveness is our right. It's not our right, okay? While forgetting that giving forgiveness is our responsibility. And some might say, well, when they do me right, then I'll do them right. It's so easy to say that. But remember what Jesus said in Luke 23:34. It says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And because Jesus forgave them, you and me, in return, we're grateful to God. And because he has forgiven us, guess what? We now follow him because of what he did for us. You know what? If we had a different attitude towards our brother or our sister that came and sinned against us, and he would come to us and say, forgive me for doing this to you. But a lot of times pride kicks in. I mean, you're asking that person forgives you, and then when that person finally forgives you, you don't even know how to act. I mean, all you have to say, yes, I forgive you. Well, I forgive you, but you did this to me, and you get a big old roll of what he has done. Forget it. He's asking for forgiveness. And I can assure you that if just like Jesus forgave, and now because he did that, we follow him. Can you imagine Euodias and Syntyche? That's where they were having problems. These two ladies at the church were against each other. Remember we talked about that? But you know what? Because of this forgiveness, they forgave each other. I can just imagine them saying, how silly of us getting mad for all this year for nothing. And you know what? Because they forgave each other, they were able to live together. Isn't that amazing? When we forgive, that brother, that sister will come and we'll live a joyful life, especially if we are in the same church. I like the story that Brother Gatch gave here, and I'm going to use that. He said that one night they invited him to a church, and they were going to have a week of revival, and he was going to be the preacher, the main speaker. And the second night that he was there, before the service the second night, the pastor from the church went up to him and said, Brother Gatch, he said, there's a young man that would like to speak with you after church. And he said to the pastor, you know what? As an evangelist, I don't like to counsel your members. But he said, no, for some reason this young man has not opened up. He has a problem, but he hasn't opened up to me. And for some reason, he said that he would like to speak to you after the church. So he said, I kind of forgot about it. And after the service, I went down, and in the office was the pastor and this young man. And so he went in the office, and pastor introduced us to each other, and then he walked out. And so when I saw this young man, tears coming down, rolling down his face, I can see that he had a broken heart. And he said, Brother Gatch, he said, my wife and I have only been married for a short time. I mean, saved for a short time. And before we got saved, he said, I had an affair with another woman. And I'm afraid to tell my wife because I'm afraid that she'll leave me. But through your preaching, the Lord has convicted me that I need to tell my wife. What should I do? And Pastor Gatch looked at him and in his own self said, oh boy, this is why I'm not a pastor. I don't want to take over. He said, oh boy, the pastors have a lot of responsibility. And so he counseled him for about 30 minutes and then told him, you know what? Take it easy, pray, let your wife know that you have something to tell her. And both of you pray, let the Holy Spirit guide you and just take your time. And he was saying this so that he was hoping that after he was gone, the explosion, he wouldn't see the explosion of what was going to happen back there. Okay? So the following night, they spoke with each other. They left. The following night, the pastor comes up to him before the service and says, you know that man that you counseled yesterday? He said, yeah. His wife is here, and she would like to speak to you. And he says, oh, no. He said, he probably told her and the bomb is about to explode. And so he said, that night I preached even longer, hoping that this young lady would be tired for me to counsel her and just go home. But to my dismay, after the service, the pastor's office door was open and there she was. And so I braced myself and I go in there. And she was sitting down and looks up at me with tears rolling down her eyes. And she said, "Brother Gad," she said, my husband and I have been saved for a short time. And before we were married, I had a relationship with somebody else, and I got pregnant, and I had an abortion. I haven't told no one. But through your message, the Lord is speaking to me that I should tell my husband." And he said, "Oh, no, here we go again." So he said, basically, he gave her the same advice that he had given her husband. Said, "You know what, take your time and just let the Lord guide and let your husband know that you have something to tell him and pray. And then when the right time comes, you can talk to him." And again, he was saying this, hoping that the bomb wouldn't explode until he was long gone. And so the following day, the third time, he says, the pastor comes to him before the service and says, "Brother Gotch, he says, remember that young man and that lady you counseled a few days ago?" I said, "Yes." "Well, they're both here and they both want to speak to you after the service." And he says, "Oh, no." He said, they probably want me to be the referee. They're probably going to, I mean, sparks are going to be flying all over the place, and they want me to referee them at World War III. I said, "Oh, no." So that night, he said, I preached even longer, hoping that they would go home. But he said, after I got down, he said, and I was preaching so long, hoping that the rapture would take place so that I wouldn't have to mess with them. And so when I got down, I even went to the bathroom, just kind of hiding, and the pastor found me and said, "Here they are." And oh, yeah. And he goes to the office, and they're both sitting down there. And he was so nervous, he said, "I don't know what's going to go on." And before they were smiling, he had her arm around her, and she had her hands holding his other hand. And they were sitting together, and he said, "Oh, no, they probably haven't told each other. Good. That way, when they do say something, I'll be gone." But he said, "Pastor, Brother Gatsby, I know that you're kind of worried, but you don't have to be worried," he said. "My wife and I have talked about what you told us to talk about. We asked the Lord, and the Lord guided us. And you know what? We have forgiven each other." Isn't that amazing? I picture myself when the Lord forgave me of something I didn't deserve. But they forgave each other, and they were even holding hands and giving each other kisses. And then he says, Pastor Kat says, "Oh boy, it worked just as I planned it. I did a good job," he said. And it's like the Holy Spirit telling me, yeah, right. But isn't that amazing? When we forgive, okay, and boy, I got through that verse in no time. That was good. I did a good job there. And the Holy Spirit says, "Yeah, right." That's me. But when you and I forgive each other, it's amazing how we can experience forgiveness and the love of God. This is what God was telling us. Be ye kind to one another and forgive each other, even as God, for Christ's sake, has what? Forgiven us. We need to be very careful. Next week, we'll be talking about, Paul tells us to beware of an unexpected spirit. I was going to go into it, but I don't think I'll have enough time. I think I'm going to finish before. But when I remember I first bought the house, when am I going to pay it? I didn't expect to pay. I'll probably die before I pay my house. Or when is the rapture coming? And so we get an unexpected spirit. Now, why? And we forget, and because we forget, we tend to put our guard down. We need to be on the guard. Let's go ahead and pray. I finished on time. Praise the Lord. And I was able to read. I'm doing much better. But next time I'll tell the Lord, give me a big verse, so he'll give me a short one. But it's just amazing how the Lord, this is just one verse. And this was part A of verse 5. Next week we'll be going into the same verse, part B. But isn't that amazing? You could read the Bible, but when you study it, and then the Lord just take you here and there, and before you know it, you see a big old picture, and the Lord tells you, this is what I want you to say. And I say, okay, Lord, I'll do it, and the Lord will bless. I hope that the Lord has spoken to you as he has spoken to me out of this verse, and that we learn to forgive. There's so many things going on in our country. Because you're not from here, you're not, and we need to be careful that we don't have a heart as the world does. They act like that because they don't know Christ. You and I know the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will always be talking to you, just like he spoke to that couple. He'll always speak to you and say, but you know what, the Lord, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not get the hammer in. He will always say, Enoch, that's wrong. You know it's wrong. And the Lord, the softer he speaks to you, and your conscience goes, Lord, okay, I'll go do it because you're not going to leave me alone. And he won't, because he loves you and wants the best for you. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we do not have a forgiving heart. And you say that as you have forgiven us, so we ought to forgive others. Father, may we have learned what you have showed us this morning. Father, be with us, be with the service this morning. Bless Pastor Cook, because he has already prepared. You've already told him what to say. Prepare our hearts that we not only be hearers, but doers of what you have to say for us this morning. As Pastor Brother Steve, or evangelist, a missionary, said, Lord, that we need to be ready and Lord, just have an attitude of praying for each other, Lord, and just help us, Lord, this morning. In everything we do, Lord, be with those that are homesick, those that are traveling, those that will be here, Lord. And again, rebuke Satan and his demons and fill us with your Holy Spirit. And may we be a holy people unto you this morning. Bless us, Lord, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen. Thank you.